drinking all my stuff up here. I said, that's caffeinated. She said, I don't care. She took the water. You saw her. So now I'm drinking the caffeine. Oh, Brother Gene's asking people if they chew. Well, chew what, Brother Gene? Backer. I'm just kidding. No. No, no. Looks like that's what we're doing tonight, though. You want me to get some, brother? I'm sure they'd love me going. You mean to do that while I'm preaching? You did that or I'll gag, one or the other. You didn't want me to do that. Yes, sir. Wow. 2.5 pounds of fluid off his heart. But they got it all?
So far.
Amen. And you don't feel like, and it's not hurting anymore like it was?
I don't feel like I've been run over from my truck.
How's it feel to sleep?
Oh, it feels good. Yeah. I ain't had a good night's sleep in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you're doing better, brother.
I even sit up, I couldn't sleep.
Hmm.
Wow.
Man.
And this woman, the saint, because
amen. Even that was true even before you had this going on. Amen. That's a good wife. Amen. 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 Well, if you've got...
She's going to need more prayer than I. She's not put up with me.
Amen. No comment. Just kidding. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 17 tonight. Luke 17. And to show you how great my memory is, tonight when I was putting this in the proclaim slides, I had forgotten that I preached last week on faith as well. But I guess that's where the Lord wants to strengthen our faith. Not the same scripture, but with the same thought. Tonight I want to preach on the thought, growing faith, and how we should be growing our faith. I heard a message recently that sparked this thought. And tonight, I'm going to be more topical than I normally am. What that means is I'm going to be a little bit all over the place in regards to a few things. And if you don't know what the difference is, topical is when you take a topic. Oh, that's original. A topic and pull scriptures from all over the Bible. That's a topical sermon. And then there is what you call textual sermons. And that's probably where I live at a lot of the times, where you take a text and you walk through it, but then you pull scriptures from all throughout the Bible to apply to the text you're dealing with. That's where I'm normally at. And then exposition, which is the goal, and probably I would think the best kind of preaching, is where you take a text and that's where you stay. And I try to be a hybrid between exposition and textual, but tonight we're going to be a little more topical than we normally are, but I will say when topical is what is being done, I believe you need to explain the scriptures as you walk through them, even if it's all over the Bible. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Our topic tonight is growing our faith. And we're going to focus at the end of our message on Luke 17, 5 and 6. And that's where we'll begin tonight. But we're also going to be in Hebrews a little bit as well. So Luke 17, and I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. The Bible says in verse number 5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word and how it can speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would show all of us tonight from your word how we can grow our faith. Lord, in preparation for the days to come, we do not know what lies ahead. But if we can grow our faith to where we are clinging to you no matter what we face, Lord, we will be able to stand firm for your glory. Please speak to us now through your word, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So as we think tonight about growing our faith, I thought it only appropriate to begin by defining what faith is. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Can anybody tell me what Hebrews 11 is known as? The faith chapter, or for my football mind, the Hall of Faith. We see all those people in Hebrews chapter 11 who had great faith by the Bible standards. And a lot of times when you read Hebrews 11 and you see those people, if all you read was Hebrews 11, you would think those people were perfect people. Those people were spotless. But see, that's why we need to read the Old Testament. Those people had issues and had struggles and had hard times. But yet they're in the Hall of Faith, not because of the fruit that they bore, but because of their faith. And that's the key. But we see first, I want to point out the definition of faith. And let's read Hebrews 11 verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And I'm encouraged by verse number 2. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Praise God, they were not known by their fruit or by their failures, but by their faith. Praise God for that. And they flopped. A lot of them did, but their faith is why they're there. And if we have faith, and if you're a child of God, you do. Praise God, that's all that matters. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not our efforts, but through faith. So we see here the definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means confidence. The word confidence means full trust, belief in the powers, trustworthiness, or reliability of a person, certitude, assurance. So put confidence there. Now, faith is the confidence of things hoped for. That's what faith is. Faith is that we have a confidence within us of things we are hoping for. And we'll talk more about what we are hoping for in just a moment. So we see faith is confidence, but also faith is conviction. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence means conviction. That means fixed or a firm belief. So put that in there. It says, the conviction of things not seen, or certainty of things not seen. So we see the definition of faith. It is confidence. It is conviction. And here's the focus. It is centered on the Word of God. That's what we need to understand. When the world looks at children of God, people who are saved by the grace of God, they think that we have blind faith. They think that our faith is not in something. Like there's no, I guess you could say, substance to our faith. But there is substance to our faith. My personal definition of the word faith is taking God at His word and acting upon it. That's my definition. I believe that kind of goes what we're looking at here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the confidence. See, faith is confidence of things hoped for. What are things hoped for? The things that we read of and we learn of and we meditate upon in the Word of God. The Bible tells you and me that when we leave planet Earth as children of God, we're going to heaven. Faith is the confidence that in our hearts that is true. And faith is a gift. We need to understand that. And faith can be grown. So we see here, faith is confidence, faith is conviction, and faith is centered on the Word of God. We don't have blind faith. We're taking God at His word, and we're acting accordingly. So look at that again. Now, faith is the substance or confidence of things hoped for. Things hoped for, we learn in the Word. That's why so many Christians' faith is so weak, because they're not in the Word. You don't have the things hoped for. So you got to get in the Word to learn what you're hoping for, so you can have faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or conviction of things not seen. And as a child of God, now that we're children of God, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we have the confidence, we have the conviction that what God says He's going to do, He will do. And when you got saved, that's what you did. When I got saved, that's what I did. I'd heard my whole life that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that night, what did I do? I took God at his word and I acted on it. I stepped out by faith, believing God would do what he said he would do. And that's when faith began in my heart and for when you got saved in your heart. So that's the definition of faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is evidence that those things are real, that those things are going to happen. So we see that's the definition of faith. But then we see in the same chapter, verse number 6, the duty of faith. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first thing I want to point out is the prerequisite. If we're going to please God, faith is a requirement. Faith is a requirement for salvation. Faith is a requirement for sanctification. If you want to grow in holiness, if you want to overcome sin in your life, it takes faith in the Word of God to do so. Same thing with salvation. But faith is required for salvation, sanctification, and for service. We've got to trust God to empower and enable and to give the increase when we serve Him. So the prerequisite, the requirement is faith. Without it, we can't please God. We can't be made righteous. We cannot fulfill His will for our lives as children of God unless we believe Him, trust Him. So the prerequisite is faith. But faith in what? First, faith in His person. Look what it says here in this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Faith in His person. That He is what? First, we need to believe, obviously, in His existence. First, that there is a God, but to get even more specific, in His exclusivity, that He is the one true God, not one of many gods, but the one true God. Christianity is exclusive because there is only one true God. We're not inclusive to many gods. There's only one God. You've got to believe that He is the one and only God. But not only His person, but like we talked about a moment ago, faith in His precepts. Look what it says. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Got to trust His word. And as you trust His word, you seek Him. We believe, because the Bible says in many different areas, that we will be rewarded for that. And even if it's not here on earth, we will be rewarded one day with crowns to lay back at His feet. But faith, there is duty of faith. The child of God, we've got to have faith. We are unable to do anything for God without faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And that's why we need to grow our faith. We need to strengthen our faith. Like we talked about last week, we need to fortify our faith. Because there's going to come hard times in our life, and many people, if not every person here, has gone through hard times, even recently. They're coming. If we don't grow our faith before we get there, that hard time will show our true faith. You see, when troubles come, that shows where you're really at with God. That shows how strong your faith really is. That's why we need to grow it and fortify it now, so when that does come, we will have that firm foundation and we will be able to trust God even in the midst of that. So we see the duty of faith, the prerequisite is faith, obviously. Faith in His person and His precepts. Now, number three, and this is where I wanted to camp. And this is actually the last point. Now, how many subpoints I have, I can't tell you. But this is the last point. So we see, number three, the development of faith. Let's go back to our first text. Luke chapter 17. The development of faith. And I heard a message recently along these lines that really kind of got my mind turning. And that's where this part came from. So as we read Luke 17, 5 and 6 again, it says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith, grow our faith, strengthen our faith. Well, how do we do that? Three things I want to point out, and then I'll be done. Now, there are some subpoints under the three, so don't get excited. But the first thing is our faith progresses through training. Just like muscles grow through working out, faith grows by training your faith. How do we do that? First, we do that, and a lot of this you've heard me say many times, but I think it bears being said again. First, by surveying the Scriptures. What I mean by that is reading them. And we're going to go deeper in a moment. But we need to, I believe, if we're going to grow our faith, we need to consistently be in the Word, reading the Word, surveying the Word. That's why I and much of the church are going through Bible reading plans to survey from beginning to end the Word of God, to get in it. Because you're seeing, and we'll learn about it, and I'll talk more about it in a moment, but as you get in the Word, you see God's faithfulness. And that grows your faith. And we're going to see there are commands. And as we obey those commands, and we see God be faithful, and we'll talk about more about that in a moment too, that grows our faith. But we got to survey the Word. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we need to do it more than we do. And that's why the devil fights so hard to prevent you from doing it, because the more you do it, the stronger your faith will be. The stronger your confidence in the hope that we have in Christ will grow. We need to spend time in the Word. And we need to spend time, more time, myself included, we need to spend more time than we do. You say, well, Pastor Tyler, my day is pretty locked up. Well, if you're like me, I'm not going to say how much time or I'd embarrass myself, but Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Fox News, Newsmax, favorite TV show, you go through the list for you. That might not be you. That's me. Wonder how much of my day that takes up. And how does that grow me as a child of God? Now, I'm not saying, let's just get rid of all of it. Delete every account. Delete it all. No, that's not what I'm saying. We're saying maybe we need to shift around our priorities. That is, if we want to get in the Word more. I mean, that's kind of, I talked about this last night, but that's kind of what the current gas prices are doing. People are like, well, I need to get a new job. I can't afford these gas prices. No, we need to take a step back and see what we need to change in our current budget. Maybe there are some things, I definitely know there are for me, that we can do without. And maybe when it comes to Bible reading, that's what we need to do. We need to take a step back and look at our time budget. Where can it be better spent to make us more like Jesus, to spend more time in the Word? I guarantee you, if you do it, you will not regret it. I don't think anybody's ever regretted spending more time in the Bible. People's like, oh, I don't know. No, you. It's like I always say, it's like Lay's chips. Their thing used to be, you can't just have one. I know you can't. Okay, you can't just have one. There's a new chip flavor that I found, Leslie. It is dill pickle flavored. That sounds gross. I thought it was gross. I thought it sounded gross. I tried one. I thought I went to the third heaven for a second. It was special. How did I even get on that? Because I was trying to see where I was going from that. And now I don't know where I was at. But okay, back to, reading the Word. The more you eat, the more you want. The more you read, the more you want to read. Seriously. I mean, because the Holy Ghost in your heart is starving for you to put the Word there. He's starving for you to stock up the Word. So that when you are placed in a situation where you can share the gospel, He can bring it back to your remembrance. The Bible says He'll do that. But with so many Christians, He's pulling from a dry well. We need to get in the Word. We need to read it. We need to spend time in it. And I encourage having a separate reading and studying time. I encourage breaking them apart. Sit down for however long with a pen and paper. Read straight through. Say you have a question, something you don't understand, write it down. But keep reading. That way you get your reading done. Then you go back and do what we're doing next. And that way you're surveying, you're seeing the big picture. See, and the more you read of the Bible at one time, the more you're seeing at once. See, a lot of times, that's why so many belief systems today are off the wall. You know why? They don't connect two chapters that are supposed to be connected. If we're not careful in our Bible reading, we'll break off in the, right in the heart of a scene or a thought, and then we'll misunderstand because we're picking up the next day or two or three days later, and we're not fully understanding it. So I encourage getting in the Word, surveying it, reading it, and then the next thing, studying the Word. You've taken your notes, you've written down your questions, you've written down maybe thoughts that jumped off the page at you. Then you go back and study. That's why I recommend to everyone a good study Bible. And if you don't have one and you would be interested in getting one, I would love to point you in that direction. They kind of help you understand difficult passages or thoughts. Miss Deb's nodding her head because she's got the Life Application, and that Bible is tremendous. It helps you apply it, helps you understand it. But I encourage you to see, because I get when I'm reading, because I've got a Life Application, I've learned I can't do my reading with that Bible because I'm always wanting to look down and read that. Now, everybody doesn't have 45 Bibles like I do, so it's okay to do that. But I read with a Bible with no notes usually a lot of times, and then I study with my study Bibles. And then I've got commentaries and stuff like that. But we need to study the Bible. Why? Number one, obviously, to comprehend. We've got the Holy Spirit in our heart, the author of the Word. But that doesn't mean you're going to read a confusing passage and understand it immediately. That doesn't mean you don't have to put the work in. That just means when you by His grace, you put the work in, you show your willingness to truly understand it, I believe God will help you to understand what you're reading. We study to comprehend, but also, and Brother Glenn will probably amen this, to commit to memory. That's one thing I fail at a lot, memorizing Scripture. If we want Scripture to become something that dominates our thoughts and becomes our delight, then we need to memorize it. We need to repetitively go over it and get it locked in our brain to such a point that we don't have to think about it and we can quote it. You say, well, I can't memorize Scripture. Let's turn on a random song on the radio. If you're like me, you'll start singing that sucker. How did I even know that? You've listened to it enough, it just sinks in your brain. The Bible needs to be that way for us as children of God. I need to get to where, in any situation, my favorite TV show doesn't spring out my mouth, but the Word of God does. But it takes letting that dominate our time. And kind of what we talk about and what we delight in and what we think about kind of shows where our time's at. At least it does for me. And in football season, guess what I'm going to be talking about? Lord help me, football. And we need to get to where the Bible is the main thing we talk. I need to get to where the Bible is the main thing I talk about. But we got to study. We got to survey the Word. We got to study the Word to comprehend and to commit to memory. And as you read it and as you dig into it and you get to where you can comprehend it and then you commit it to memory, then we've got to submit to it. If all we do is have the information, but we never are obedient to what we're told, we're just going to, like I've said so many times, we're going to be spiritually obese. I think I've told the story many times here. Me and my cousin, we used to drink protein milkshakes because we liked them. But were we working out at that point in our lives? Absolutely not. So those weren't really helping us physically. They might just add a few pounds, but they weren't benefiting us in the sense of making us stronger. He might have been working out, but I was like, dude, I ain't working out. He's going to want a milkshake. But we got to submit to it. Got to obey it. See, because as you live, as you're obedient to what you read, you see God be faithful to what He says He'll do. When we do what He tells us to do, He will always do what He says He will do. A lot of times we don't do what we will do, so we don't get to see Him do what He promises to do. We've got to submit to the Word, and then we will see God be faithful to His Word. And as we see God be faithful to His Word, there will be a sprouting, a development, a growth of our faith. That is the process. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got to submit to it. Then you'll see God be faithful. You've seen Him in His Word, and that should grow your faith. But when your faith grows the most is when you live it. and you see God do what he says he would do. And each time he does that, I mean, everybody here's faith was probably grown after our youth rally, wasn't it? Why? Because we believed God to save a soul. What did God do? Saved a soul. That grew my faith. God wants to do that for us every day. He wants us to trust him. And guess what? He'll always come through. And every time he comes through, our faith will grow. Every time. But that's what we got to survey, study, submit. Then we'll see. Then there will be sprouting. Now, sprout growth in the sense of the size of our faith. Our faith will get bigger, stronger, but also in the strength of our faith. What I mean is, as we walk with God every day and we see him be faithful every day and our faith grows every day, by the time a trial comes, our faith is strong. The people that stood the test of time and were able to stand firm for the Lord in the midst of hard times and continue to trust him were not people that were not prepared before they got there. It's not like it was just a miracle, like they did what they wanted to, the storm came, and then they showed miraculous faith. No, those are people who walked with God every day and saw God be faithful every day, grew their faith every day, and when the trial came, their faith was strong. And that's why they stood. And that's why so many Christians today struggle, because their faith is weak. And all of us, if we were honest with ourselves, myself included, our faith is not as strong as it should be. Or as it could, definitely not as it could be. It can always get better. So we see there that it progresses through training. And that kind of referenced this already. But it also progresses through testing. Let's go with me to Romans. And I referenced this last night with the men just in passing. But go to Romans chapter number 5. I love this passage. This went right along with what Brother Chris said. What Brother Chris did last night, he did a tremendous job. And he was short. Maybe that's why we liked it so good. He didn't go long. I'm just kidding. Don't tell him I said that. No. He did a wonderful job. He did a wonderful job last night. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, focusing on verses 3 through 5, I believe it is. Your page is turning. I'll give you a second. This is important. Romans 5, the Bible says, verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, oh, would you look at that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now listen to this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, or endurance. It strengthens us spiritually. And patience, or endurance, experience, and experience, what's that next word? Hope, which is faith. Our trials grow our faith. If we have been growing our faith before our trials come, that we will be able to grow our faith in the midst of trials. Or if we're unprepared, we may fall flat on our face, but trials, God sends them in our lives. He either causes them or allows them. Now, which one is which? Sometimes I don't know, but everything goes through the hands of God to get to you and me. But all of them, the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God. To them are they called according to his purpose. And that good purpose is to make us more like Jesus and to increase and grow and strengthen our faith. It says, in patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When God sends a trial, we need to prepare ourselves before it gets there. So when we see it, we can say, God, help me to see what you're trying to do in my life through this and strengthen my faith in it. That's easier said than done. But that's what God wants to do. He wants to progress our faith through training and through testing. And then we see back in our text in Luke 17, verses 5 and 6, we see the product will be a transformation. The Bible says there, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, You might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So, the transformation. When we have faith, the more we trust Him and our faith grows, the first thing we, I believe, will experience His manifest presence. I really do. God wants to make Himself known to us more and more on a daily basis. He wants us to experience His manifest presence way more than we realize. And maybe the reason why so many Christians don't is because our faith is weak. But when we trust Him, we're believing Him. We have confidence that He will do what He says He will do. And you know, you show how much confidence you have in what He says will do by how much you obey what He says. And that hurts me right there. That shows how much confidence we really have. I mean, but so we see, we get His presence. And when we are in His presence, we get His peace. And as we see in verse number 6, which results in His power, it says, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's the smallest of seeds. But if we had faith as small as a mustard seed, it talks about how the great power that can come from it. We need to grow our faith. And when we are growing our faith, God can demonstrate His power through us and to us. And guess what that will do? It'll grow our faith. It's all a cycle of growing our faith, but we need to develop it through training, and He will develop it through testing. We need to prepare ourselves before the testing comes, and then we can develop it more. That's what God wants to do. And may God help us to do that. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, we all can be growing our faith more. And that's all I've got tonight. And so now we actually have time for prayer requests. Pastor Daniel texted me today. Let me pull that up here.